That's one of my favorite songs, Redeemed. Noah been bought with a price. I thank God for that. Don't you? Thank God that we've been saved. Thank God that we've been bought with a price. Man, I'm telling you, you're not of your own. You've been bought with a price. I really thank God for that tonight. If you have a copy of God's Word tonight, I wanted you to turn with me, if you would, to the book of Jude. That's going to be the book right before Revelation, right before the last book of the Bible there. And I want to look tonight at and just what's been on my heart. Man, I'm talking about this morning, about the power of God, His great power, and what He does in our lives. And man, how we don't need to doubt God's power. We don't need to dilute God's power. And most certainly, we don't need to deny it at all. I'm telling you. And we have here nothing special about us, but special in what God does in this place. And I'm telling you what, it don't take but a skinny minute to run the Holy Ghost off. Now, He lives inside of me. He lives inside of you if you're a believer. But I'm telling you what, He can withdraw Himself from a service in a split minute. You start compromising, you start letting things go on that's not of God, it won't be long, and you'll just have a dry, dull service. And that's not what we want. Amen? Man, we want the Holy Spirit to flow through this place, flow through you, flow through me, and God just to do a work in our lives. I thank God for this safe place that we do get to come to tonight. This morning, man, we had kids all in the altar up here for Children's Church. Brother Roy and Sister Keela, they've done a fine job, man. I tell you what, it spoke volumes to my heart. And it's a safe place for them kids to come. They're not scared. They don't have to worry about being mistreated. Just a place that they can come and serve the Lord. That's what kind of church we want. We want a church like that. You can tell what kind of spirit's in a church by the way the kids are showing up and how they're doing. That spirit will just flow through. So tonight, if you have a copy of God's Word, I ask you to turn to the first book of Jude, the only chapter there. Jude chapter number 1, verse number 1 tonight. I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word. And I want to spend a few moments tonight. We know about the power of God, but I want you to know tonight we must earnestly contend for the faith. For the faith that you have in Jesus Christ, you must earnestly contend. Don't take it lightly what you got in Christ Jesus. Don't say, hey, it'll be all right, it'll be there again tomorrow. Everything's good, everything's great. Man, I'm telling you what, God is doing a work here, and we want to keep this place what God has called it to be. Look with me, if you will, in Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. That's what we want here. Mercy unto you and peace and love, and it be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which once was delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unaware who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly, into lascivious, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Look with me, if you will, in verse number 20. But ye beloved, here's where he says, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and of some having compassion, making a difference, and others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, having even their garments spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Our Father and our God, as we bow in your presence tonight, Father, we love you, we praise you, we glorify you tonight. Lord, I thank you for this night that we get to come out and sing about being redeemed, know what it is to be redeemed tonight in the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you tonight that the battle is not ours, but it's yours. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. Lord, I thank you for that tonight. I thank you tonight that I can put all my hope and trust in you. And Father, I want to be a shepherd that earnestly contends for the faith at this place, but not only here, but in my home, around my family, my friends, the ones of the faith, Lord God, that I stand and do what you've called me to do. Lord, I pray tonight that you just guard my throat, guard my thoughts. I pray that we all get just a great anointing tonight, a great unction from the Holy Ghost tonight. Lord, move on this service. Be with us. Watch over us. In Jesus' most holy, precious name, and all of God's people say it. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Tonight, talking about to earnestly contend for the faith. To earnestly contend for that faith. Here's we come. Jude was going to write about the common salvation. He was going to write about the common salvation. But the Holy Spirit of God opened his eyes to what, or should I say, who was creeping into the house of God. Who was creeping in here amongst them. We must be careful who we allow to creep in amongst us. I wrote this down. We must be aware or be careful who we allow to creep in amongst us. Not everyone that comes will come for the mercy of God, the peace of God, and the love of God. That's mentioned in verse number 2 of Jude. Not everybody that comes into the house of God will be for that mercy and that grace and that love of God. Friends, I want you to know that when that mercy and that love and that grace, it all lines up. I'm telling you, a church can be in harmony and God can move in a mighty way. So we must earnestly contend for that true faith. That means this, to literally fight for what you have in Christ Jesus, to literally fight for what Jesus has done in your life. You say, preacher, I'm not much of a fighter. Can I say to you, if you're a child of God tonight, you didn't get to choose to get in the battle. When you got saved, you got enlisted in the battle. Amen? When you got saved, you didn't get to get on a playground or a merry-go-round. When you got saved, at that moment you're a soldier in Jesus Christ and you've been enlisted into the battle and into the army of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we must fight for that faith tonight. We must labor fervently. That means we must be a wide open what God's taught us to do, or strive for the faith that we have in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But listen to this tonight. If you're going to earnestly contend, you must know how to build yourself up in Christ Jesus. You must know how to build yourself up in Christ Jesus. And tonight you say, preacher, how do you do that? Jude told them the exact way to build themselves up in Christ Jesus. Look with me, if you will, in verse number 20 tonight. Here's the first thing you have to do to earnestly contend for the faith and to build yourself up in Christ Jesus is, number one, you got to pray in the Holy Ghost. You've got to pray in the Holy Ghost. You got to pray through the Holy Ghost and let the Holy Spirit have His way in your life. Look what He says here. He says in verse number 20, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. If you don't pray in the Holy Ghost tonight and you don't allow the Holy Ghost to have free reigns in your life, your own opinion and your own thoughts are going to run through your mind real crazy. I was talking to a young man this week, and he doesn't even go to church here, and he's trying to get into church, and he was talking about Charlie Kirk and him getting shot and getting killed and what was going on, and he called me and he wanted to talk to me. He said, you're a preacher, and I don't attend church. I don't go to church. And he said, but I want to know about what you think about Charlie Kirk. And I told him, I said, I'm just going to be honest, and I'm your pastor. I won't lie to you. I said, my first instinct when I heard that he got killed, I said, they ought to take that young man, line him up outside, take a gun and shoot him in the neck. Now, that's not praying in the Holy Ghost. That's my own opinion, my own thought, which is useless. But the Holy Spirit prompted me to say this, Brother Roy, after that. I said, but let me tell you what the grace and love and mercy of God did. Even though what He done was evil, even though He done was an attack, even though what He done was not right, even though what He done was totally against what the Bible says, that young man at 22 years old can still be born again by the blood of Jesus Christ. I said, see, you see, even as a pastor, our mind gets warped. Our thinking gets warped. Man, I'm telling you what, the evil world we live in, if you're not careful, you'll come back with evil. But we got to remember tonight that we got to pray in the Holy Ghost. We got to build ourselves up in the Holy Ghost. If not tonight, we'll get consumed with the things of this world and we will want to do evil with evil. We're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to do good and not evil. And you say, preacher, why would you even think that way? I guarantee you, most of you in this room probably thought that way. Man, I'm telling you what, a lot of us think that way. That, hey, give back what, but listen, here's the thing. If you could ask Charlie Kirk tonight, and him being a man of God that he was, what do you think should happen to that young man? He would want a one-on-one interview with him and tell him about the love of Jesus Christ. And the only thing that can do that is that a man would be built up in the Holy Ghost. When you've been done wrong and you've been misled and somebody's done you wrong and somebody's brought evil on your life, you don't retaliate with evil, you retaliate with good. You bring the good of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ back. He said, I want you to know, if you're going to earnestly contend for the faith that is in you, you're going to have to build yourself up by praying in the Holy Ghost. And when you pray in the Holy Ghost, you say, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. When you start praying that, it changes your life completely. It changes everything on the inside of you. It changes your mind. It changes your heart. It changes your spirit. It changes everything about you. The other day, Brother Donald come up here and he talked about the man that had killed his wife there in Hamilton, Alabama. And Brother Donald come up and told how he had talked to his brother and asked for forgiveness on that. And they had got along there in the huddle house. Friends, I'm telling you, what made Brother Donald do that? It was the Holy Ghost that was inside of him. It was the Holy Ghost that was working inside of him. It took years to do that, but God can do anything. He can break anything in your life when you allow yourself to start praying in the Holy Ghost. Let me show you this tonight and what God has shown me here in the Word tonight. He said, I want you to do this. But ye beloved, building up yourselves of your most holy faith, praying. Tonight, one of the major and the most important parts of a soldier's armor is prayer. We want to put on the helmet of salvation. We want to put on the breastplate of righteousness. We want to shod our feet. We want to take the sword of the Spirit. But also, if you'll look with me in Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse number 18, we must be praying as children of God. We must be praying and asking God to move on our situations in our life. Look with me, if you will, to Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse number 18. To pray in the Holy Ghost, prayer is a major part of a soldier's armor tonight. To pray tonight. Ephesians 6, 18, the Bible says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in what? In the Spirit, not in the flesh. If I'm praying in my flesh, I'm praying selfishly. If I pray in my flesh, I'm praying my will and not His will. But when I start praying in the Spirit, I start praying His will and not my will. My prayer is a major part of a soldier's armor. Get this tonight. The disciples had a burning desire to be taught to pray. In Luke chapter 11 and verse number 1, what did they ask Jesus? They said, Lord, teach us to pray. They didn't say, Lord, teach us to preach. They didn't say, Lord, teach us to give. They didn't teach us to love. He said, Lord, teach us to pray. Why is that tonight? Why do we want God to teach us to pray? Because when God teaches us to pray, we'll pray the right way. The Holy Ghost, though, get this tonight. When you pray in the Holy Ghost is the one that gives you the unction or the desire. Said the old preacher man was in church one day, and he was sitting back there on the pew, and he said, any prayer request? Said he raised his hand. He said, I don't know a lot, but I know we need unction. We need some unction around here, and we need unction. About 5 or 6 weeks in, they stood up and said, what is unction? He said, I don't know what it is, but I know when it ain't here. We need unction of the Holy Ghost. What is unction tonight? What is that unction? What is that tonight? Here's what it is. It's a nudge of the Holy Ghost. It's a nudge. It's a gentle nudge. It's a gentle touch of the Holy Ghost. How He gently nudges you or touches you to go in the right direction. Tonight, I want to ask you, when do you know the Holy Ghost is nudging you to do something and you don't go the way it wants you to go? You don't go the way. How do you feel when He nudges you and you go the opposite way? I don't know about you, but I don't feel good when I do that. Look with me, if you will, to 1 John chapter number 2 and verse number 20 tonight. 1 John chapter number 2 and verse number 20. Earnestly contend for the faith. If we're going to do that, we're going to have to pray in the Holy Ghost. Look with me tonight in 1 John chapter number 2 and verse number 20. To pray in that Holy Ghost. Here's what He says. 1 John chapter number 2 and verse number 20. The Bible says, but ye have an unction. There it is. You have a nudge. You have a nudge. You have a nudge. You have a nudge. You ever had to nudge your kids? You ever had to nudge them? Tell them you're sorry. Tell them you're sorry. Tell them you're sorry. Mm-mm. And finally, you just got to get them, pull them up there and say, I'm sorry. And write her and say, I'm saucy. And I know good and well he ain't sorry a bit in the world. But you're training him. There's been times the Holy Ghost told you to tell somebody you're sorry and you ain't sorry a bit in the world. What is He doing? He's training you. He's leading you. He's guiding you. He's growing you. That Holy Spirit of God, when you start praying in the Holy Ghost, He'll show you what you need to do. He said it's an unction from the Holy One. It's that nudge or that gentle guide that leads us in the way that we should go, teaches us in what we should do, leads us in the way that would be right in His path. Look at this tonight in 1 John as well. As we go on down the list there. He said not only do we pray in the Holy Ghost, but in 1 John 2:27, here's what He says. Here's what the Bible says in 1 John 2:27, but the anointing which you have received of Him, or that unction, that anointing, that unction, that touch. But the anointing which you have received of Him abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie. And even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him. What does that unction do? What does that Holy Ghost do? He's going to guide you in the right way. He's not going to guide you wrong. He's going to guide you in the right way. Why? Because He nudges, or He gives that gentle touch. Look with me back in the book of Jude, if you don't mind, in verse number 21 and 22. Not only should we pray in the Holy Ghost, but we should plead in the Holy Ghost. Man, there's been times I've prayed and you've prayed. I've prayed it should be a mist. I ain't gonna lie. Like I told the young man on the phone, people looking for somebody that's real, not fake. They're not always looking for a biblical answer. They want to know exactly what you think, but this is what I think I should do, but God tells me to do this. There's too many people standing behind pulpits telling you what to do, and they ain't doing nothing they say they do. They ain't doing no thing they say they doing. And then you watch that person tell you this right here. I tell you what I'd do. They ain't going to do nothing they told you they was going to do. Their marriage going wrong. So I tell you what I'd do. I'd leave his sorry tail. They ain't going to do a thing they told you they was going to do. Y'all know I'm telling you the truth tonight. He said, not only we should pray, but we should plead in the Holy Ghost. Plead for that Spirit to lead me. Plead for that Spirit to guide me. Folks, tonight, I'm talking about pleading. There's been times I've prayed just amidst. And then there's been times where I've got on my knees before Almighty God. And I said, Lord, I got to have you now. Lord, I need you now. Lord, would you please help me now? And most of the times when I'm praying that way, ain't on the mountaintop. It's when I've caught myself in the valley. And the only reason I'm in the valley is not because he put me there, because I've allowed myself to go there. Let me show you this tonight. Not only do I pray in the Holy Ghost, but I must plead in the Holy Ghost. Look at this tonight in verse 21 and 22. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Looking, you got to keep yourself in the love of God. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion making a difference. Preacher, what is plead? It's the love of God to flow through you to someone else. Lord, let me be that conduit that it can flow through me to someone else. Looking for the mercy of Jesus Christ to show the next person. Looking or longing for the opportunity to have compassion on someone else. And Lord, build me up that I might build someone else up. He says this here. He says, and some have compassion making a difference. What makes that difference? When you allow that Holy Spirit to speak through you, when you pray in the Holy Ghost, when you plead in that Holy Ghost, and you say, Lord, I need you to move on my life. Jude said, I'm telling you what, in the time we live in, we're going to have the Holy Spirit quicker than anything. I believe this so much. You can go into a church and you can preach revivals many times. You can go in, I can take that flower and I can move it, and every person in that church knows it's gone. Every person in that church, I can take this flower right here, I can turn that thing around. The flower committee, they know you've turned it around. They've got upset, they get sideways, they want to know who moved it. Put the piano on the wrong side of the room, they get upset, they want to know who. They get upset. Leave a light on and it's been on for 2 or 3 days, they get upset. Cut the air conditioning down too low, they get upset. Anything goes wrong, they notice it. But the Holy Ghost can pull out. Hello! But the Holy Spirit can move out of a service and it can be dead as a doornail and nobody won't say a word. Nobody won't say nothing. Nobody don't care. As long as that flower's in the right position, amen? As long as nobody ain't in my seat. You say, you kidding me? Man, there's been times I've been to revivals and I just go in. Surely nobody sits on the front pew, second pew, or third pew. Surely nobody sits there. I just put my Bible down and sit down. And they'll come up, going to preach a week revival. And they'll say, hey, that's my seat. I'm like, man, I hear you. What's that? No, that's my seat. I'm like, okay, hey, take your seat. And I tell my wife, it's going to be a long week. You say, preacher, you crazy. Man, I've been in Illinois, and you ask my wife, I've been up there, and I've had them sit on the back pews with fingers in their ears for 7 days while you preach the gospel, sit back there every time with fingers in their ears. I said, preacher, what do? You pray in the Holy Ghost, and you plead in the Holy Ghost that God will move on their heart. I'll never forget, we was up there one night, and I'm telling you what, the Spirit of God got so real in that service, it got to moving through that place, and I'm telling you what, it got to bouncing off wall to wall, it got to swelling up in that place. We were way up yonder, way up in Illinois, that thing got rolling around inside that building, the Spirit got to popping, people got to moving, and that night, the preacher's wife went out crying. He said she wasn't feeling good, she got some things going on, she's just tired. Next night he come in, he said, preacher, I'm sorry, she's not going to be back tonight, she just don't feel good. I said, man, that sounds good, amen. The next night he said, hey, she's got something else going on, maybe, whatever. The next night, she had something else going on. I said, brother, you better check on your wife. She's got more going on than you think she does. It ain't physical, it's spiritual. About 2 weeks later, you know what? She got born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. She was trying to get away from that Holy Ghost. She was trying to get out of that church. She made up every excuse that she could. Listen to me, there's people walking out of this church. You know why? Because they can't handle the Holy Ghost. They can't handle the Spirit of God. Listen to me tonight, that Spirit of God. We pray, Lord God, if there be any spirit in here beside the Holy Spirit, get it out of here. And you wonder why people leave and they walk off. Been praying that any other spirit in this place get them out of here. Listen to me tonight. I've seen it time and time again. When the Spirit sets down, people can't handle it all the time.
When he gets meddling in your business, I'm not saying nothing about David, but he get meddling in David's life, David will take it out on the preacher. And we're supposed to be best friends, man. We're supposed to be our comrades. We're supposed to be in the army together. We're supposed to be soldiers. You say, preacher, you talking about me? I ain't talking about nobody. I'm just telling you what the Spirit of God will do. How do you know, preacher? Because he's done it in my life. He's done it in my life. Man, I tell you what, preacher, get up and get to preaching. I get mad, stepping all over my toes. Instead of getting it right, I'll go out the back door where I should be in this altar, praying in the Holy Ghost, pleading in the Holy Ghost, and could care less how that flower looks. Listen to me. Listen to me tonight. As a church, we got to get to praying. We got to get to praying. As a church, we got to get to pleading. My next point says that God showed me, and as a church, we got to get to pulling on people in the Holy Ghost. We wrote names down of people that are lost on this backboard, that are lost, that don't know Jesus, and we're praying for them, and we're pleading in the Holy Ghost. Listen to me tonight. I'm incapable of convicting or converting anybody to Jesus Christ. I'm unable. None of you are able. You're not able to convict them. You're not able to convert them. That's not my job. That's the Holy Ghost. You get under preacher conviction, it ain't going to do you a bit of good. But if you get under Holy Ghost conviction, it'll change your life. You say, preacher, what do you need to be doing? You need to be turning them lost family members over to Jesus. You need to be turning them disgruntled church members over to Jesus, giving them to Jesus. Say, Lord, Holy Ghost, you just take your way in their life. You just do whatever you need to do. You do what you need to do, and I'll be happy with it. Say, what are you talking about, preacher? Not only should we pray, not only should we plead, but we should allow the Holy Ghost to pull. That Holy Spirit of God to pull. I want to show you this, where that Spirit will pull. I want to show you how close people are to hell. I ain't scaring nobody. I'm just going to show you how close people that don't know Jesus are to hell tonight. Man, I'm telling you, we're right there. We're in a generation. Man, I'm telling you. A young man sitting on a platform, 31-year-old, and get shot. We're in a wicked world. We got a young man here that's a state trooper. You better be praying for him in the Holy Ghost. He's our youth pastor. You don't think Satan's got a target on his head? You don't think for 4 months I've laid home in the bed just because I wanted? Listen to me, man. It was a spiritual attack. I want you to know that. You're the core tonight. It's spiritual attack. Everything's been going on. It's spiritual. It ain't got nothing to do with physical. It ain't got nothing to do with attitude, approach, emotions, none of that. It's spiritual. It's a spiritual warfare. And when you stop praying, you start acting in what you think's right instead of what God tells you's right. Be praying for Brother Riley. He's wearing that uniform, man. There's a target on his back. More than that, because he's a youth pastor, there's a target on his back. So, preacher, what should we do? Man, you should pray. Pray in the Holy Ghost. I'll never forget one time, and I've told this story everywhere I go. Me and Brother Tony, we was out there. He don't like me to use his name. I'm sorry, but I did. We was out there in my shop, and I don't know how long we've been there. Probably an hour. On our knees. That concrete then started rubbing the hair off my knees. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You get praying, Brother Tony, you're going to be down there a little while. If you don't want to pray, don't start, because we're going to pray for a little while. And I'd been there in that shop, Brother Harold, for I don't know how long. Knees done got raw, but done got past that point. Probably an hour, hour and a half. You say, you ain't no way y'all pray. Oh, yeah. Have you ever done that? Ain't got nothing to do with you. It's just when you go from the natural praying into the spiritual realm. You don't even know what you're saying. Don't even know what you're thinking. You're just letting God lead. You're just praying on through. When we said amen, I stood up and looked around. There stood Kaylee, my daughter. She had come home from high school. That had been several years ago. And I said, baby, how long have you been there? She said, Daddy, I don't know how long I'd have been there, but I've been there a long time. I said, why didn't you say something? She said, y'all was too far in for me to mess with it. She said, I just sit there and listen. What about somebody caught you praying? What about somebody caught you praying? Would you be ashamed in the way you're praying? Would you be ashamed in what you're praying for? Praying, pleading God to touch, because you want the Holy Ghost to pull somebody out of hell. If they're lost, you know how close they are to hell? I'm going to show you. Jude said they the fire, the garments is already spotted. Man, they're right there. And we sit here like nothing's going on. We're worried about the flower. We're worried about the air. We're worried about, and people going to hell. Had 9 kids get saved during VBS. 9 kids. shared the gospel. I'm talking about this place flooded with kids. I mean, we didn't pull nobody. You sit here, Sister Brittany. We didn't pull nobody. We didn't pull nobody. I had the sorriest example of the gospel you could give. All I had was a bag and some note cards. Sorriest example of the gospel. But you know what? The gospel ain't sorry. You can tear it up, mark it up, you can do whatever. But if you'll present it, somebody will want it. You ain't got to be perfect in doing it. Just share it. Shared that gospel with 9 kids. I'm talking about weeping tears. Could not hold back. And all we told them is God loved them. And that he wanted to save them from hell. All the way from 6, 7, down to, I don't know, 6, 7-year-old, something like that. 9 kids got saved. Don't forget that. 9 kids gave their life to Jesus. What an amazing thing that is. Why? Because we've been praying that God would pull. Let me show you this. I want to move on right here. I want to get off that for just a second. Look right here. Let me show you. We pray in the Holy Ghost. We plead and we pull. Look in verse 23. And others saved with fear. And others saved with fear. Pulling them out of the fire. Folks, you don't have to pray. There's some folks we got in our families in the fire. You're going to have to pray. You're going to have to pray. I'll never forget when my mama said, I'm through with you. I'm turning you over to Jesus. Boy, it wasn't long. I was praying, Mama, take me back. Mama, take me back. Look, and others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even their garments spotted by the flesh. People dying and going to hell truly moves you to the place where you beg the Holy Ghost to pull them out. Just look how close folks are to hell. That ought to be enough to move you tonight. I see tonight that we must pray in the Holy Ghost. We must plead in the Holy Ghost. We must be pulling on people in the Holy Ghost. I can't make no man or woman do anything in this room. Not one thing. Not one thing. Not one thing. But I do know this. If you want something done, you pray to the Lord. He'll handle it. I've seen it time and time again. I've seen the most hard-headed, stubborn outlaw there is. And pray God move, and God would move, touch, move, touch, and do a work in their life. I'll never forget when Brother Billy Rogers got born again. And Brother Billy, he came up, and he was squalling, snotting, carrying on, had his fist balled up. And old Brother Billy loved to fight. I don't know, he may still do, I don't know. But he just ain't fighting. He said, if I could get my hands on it, I'd wear it out right now. I said, I guarantee you would, but you can't get your hands on it, son. It's the Holy Ghost. It can get all over you, but you can't get on it. It can get inside of you. It can do what it wants to inside of you. It can go where it wants to go. It's like the wind. It'll go where it wants to go. It'll do what it wants to do. He gave his life to Jesus. Went long after that. Brother Bradley Blaylock goes to church with us. Brother Billy, they called the family in on his daddy. And this is how I knew there's a change, Brother David. You're going to remember this story. Brother Billy run about 110 through town, through downtown Sullivan. But run about 110 miles an hour, Brother Bradley blue light him. About a 20 mile an hour zone, him run 110. Blue light him. And he said when he pulled over, he just jumped out of the car and run back there and jerked the car door open on the police car and said, hey, if you're going to write me a ticket, write it. My daddy's dying. I got to go. And he said, man, I'm sorry, go. And he called me. He said, preacher, I got something I got to tell you. I'll tell you what I did, and I think it's going to look bad on the church. So talk to me. He told me what he did. He said, you know what I think I ought to do? I thought, oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, I don't know what you think you might ought to do. And I'm telling this because he's used this everywhere we went, to the jail and everywhere. He said, I'm going to go back. Hospice is here and daddy's going to be okay right now. I'm going back to find that cop. And I'm going to tell him I'm sorry for the way I acted. You think that'll be the right thing to do, preacher? I said, brother, I think that'd be the greatest thing to do. He said, preacher, what was that? He just trying to clean up? Oh, no, 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 no. You can't clean a man up, Brother Roy. I said, what's that unction on the inside making him want to go back and make it right? All these years he didn't ever go back and make it. What's making him want to go now? He said, Holy Ghost. What's making a man want to do right now? What makes a man, if he hurts somebody's feeling, want to go back and make it right now? What makes a man want to do? Well, all his whole life he didn't want to do that. Don't tell me what to do. But now there's something on the inside. He just can't understand it, really. But he wants to go back and make things right. I may be talking to somebody tonight, and you may have an alt with somebody, and you say, I think I might ought to go make it right. That ain't you thinking you ought to make it right. That's that Holy Spirit inside of you saying, make it right. He said, not only there's a pulling. There's not only a pulling that the Holy Spirit does, but there's a presentation.
He presents himself in our life. You're an epistle written and read by all men. They're watching you, how you live and how you do. Let me show you this tonight in closing. Look with me, if you will, in verse number 24. There's a presentation by the Holy Ghost. Not only do we pray and plead and the pull, man, that pull, but the presentation of the Holy Ghost. Look in verse 24. Now to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you. He presents you. What you are in Christ Jesus. I'm forgiven. I'm accepted in Christ Jesus. In the beloved. Now to him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Turn with me, if you will, to John 16, verse number 13. The Holy Ghost is our guide tonight. If you don't, if you're like a boat in the ocean being tossed to and fro, let the Holy Ghost guide you tonight. He won't guide you into the honky-tonk. He won't guide you nowhere but in the right way. John 16 and verse number 13, the Holy Ghost is our guide tonight. John 16 and verse 13, the Bible says, howbeit when the Spirit of truth is come, the Holy Spirit, he will guide you into all truth. He's our guide tonight. He guides you where you need to go. He guides you in all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. The Holy Ghost is our guide tonight. But the Holy Ghost is also who grows us tonight. He don't only guide you, but he grows you. I've been saved 18 years. A lot of you have been saved a lot longer than I have. I'm not where I want to be, but I'm not where I was when he first saved me. Miss Jean, can I get an amen? She was my boss for a long time. But Jackie, amen. He was my boss for a long time. I'm not where I was, but I'm not where I want to be. I want to keep growing in the Lord. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 and verse number 13. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 and verse number 13. Not only the Holy Ghost is our guide, but he grows us tonight. If you want to grow in Christ Jesus, let that Holy Spirit guide you into all wisdom tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 and verse number 13 says this. 1 Corinthians 2:13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but with the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. He teaches us. Not only does he guide you, but he grows you. And the Holy Ghost also, I want to leave you with this. He don't only guide you and grow you, but the Holy Ghost is the one that makes you glad. Eating Mexican last night at Gwin, and the chief of police, give me his name. You know what I'm talking about. What's his last name? Darrell Spencer. I walked in, there sat Brother Darrell. Went over and hugged his neck. And, man, I love you. Love you, man. Da, da, da. Love that boy. Love him. Went to leave, he come over and hugged me up. Said, love you, man. I said, I love you. He said, man, every time I see you, you're smiling. No, I don't always smile. On my voice recorder, it says I'm the happy pastor of Union Chapel, but I'm not always the happy pastor, Brother Kevin. But I choose not to let my frown go outside my home. I choose to keep my smile on my face when I'm out in public, when I'm out around folks. Why? Because he's been way too good to me. He's been way too good to me. And if I get to the place that I got to moan and groan and complain, I'll just stay there till I get my smile back. He's the one that guides me. He's the one that grows me. He's the one that gives me gladness tonight. And the only time I can give you gladness, only way the Holy Ghost can give you gladness, turn with me to Ephesians, if you will, tonight. Chapter number 1, and we'll go with this. Verse number 13 and 14. If this doesn't make you happy tonight, I don't know what will. Ephesians chapter number 1, verse 13 and 14. He's what makes me happy tonight. Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse number 13 and 14. He keeps us, he makes me happy tonight. He's what makes me glad. He's my guide. He grounds me, grows me, and makes me glad. And whom you also, after you trusted, that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, whom also after that you believe you were sealed by the Holy Spirit. There's that Holy Ghost again. He just keeps showing up. Brother Heath, he just keeps showing up time and time again. In whom also after that you believed, what'd you believe? You believed on Jesus Christ. You were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. I want to say to you tonight, we got a reason to earnestly contend for the faith that is in Christ Jesus. We earnestly got a reason to contend for the faith that is inside of us tonight. He lives inside of you. If you're born again tonight, He lives inside of you. And He'll guide you. Man, He will guide you in the way that you need to go. He'll grow you. He'll grow you, man. He'll grow you. You start out on milk. Little Ryder, when he was born, first several months, he was on milk. Little milk here, little milk there. That's what he drank was milk. He's 3 years old. If all he drank now, and that's about all he does still drink is milk, but he needs meat. He needs meat. Man, tonight, what we need is that Holy Spirit of promise and that Holy Spirit to meet with us every time we come in this place. Would you be like Samson? Would you be like him? Just expected it to be there. Just expected the power of God to be on his life. All he had to do was call. But when he needed it, it wasn't there. Because he done got away from it. He done got away from what? Man, listen to me tonight. You stand by the God of that book, and the God of that book will stand by you. But the book also says, howbeit, the hair started growing back on his head. Power started coming back. Why? Because he got to pleading with God. He got to praying to God. Lord, don't leave me here. Lord, I'm talking to somebody tonight. You're saying, Lord, don't leave me here. Lord, don't leave me here. Don't leave me here. He ain't going to leave you here. He got something better for you. Tonight as a church, you just keep on keeping on, letting God lead you and guide you tonight. You got something worth fighting for. Amen? You got something worth fighting for. I do. I don't know about you, but I got something worth fighting for. I don't know how much longer. I told them getting old ain't for a bunch of sissies. I ain't for 45, man. I don't know what's going on. I thought I was 10 foot tall and bulletproof till about 4 months ago. But I know who wins at the end. Tonight, we're fixing to gather around this building tonight, and we're going to pray for one another.